The scripture today is from Luke 6, verses 17 through 26. And Jesus came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all the crowd sought to touch Jesus, for power came forth from him and healed them all. And Jesus lifted up his eyes on the disciples and said, "Blessed are you poor, for yours is the realm of God. Blessed are you that hunger now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, and revile you, and cast out your name as evil on account of the human one. Rejoice in that day, and leap for joy, for your reward is great in heaven. For so their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you that are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you shall hunger. Woe to you that laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for so their ancestors did to the false prophets." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Choices. I found it very striking that the scriptures that are coming up in the lectionary at this time are about the choices people make about how we live our lives. Build on the rock, build on the sand. Throughout the scriptures, in many of the wisdom teachings of the Hebrew scriptures, as well as in Jesus' teaching and in the letters, there are this theme of choices. There's different paths, and we choose what path we can follow. And it doesn't mean you can't change your mind. In fact, that's a very, very important theme in Scripture, is it not? Repent, turn around, go the different way, be transformed. But Jesus, as a wisdom teacher, built on the teaching that was already in the Psalms and the Proverbs, and in this passage we read as a call to worship from Jeremiah. We make choices. The reading you just heard is Luke's version of Jesus' teaching that's probably much more familiar to us from Matthew's Sermon on the Mount, beginning with what we call the Beatitudes, the blessings. Luke's version, you notice, is not on a mountain, but on a plain. I find that kind of interesting, frankly. Don't know what it means. And his version, more interestingly, is not just blessings. It's blessings and it's woes. Luke is actually a gospel that highlights contrast, reversals, choices. Luke is intensely concerned about rich and poor, not just in the abstract spiritual sense of poor in spirit. Again and again, he shows Jesus' concern for and choice to be with and for the poor and the outcast. And he highlights stories Jesus told, teachings of Jesus about the dangers of wealth and power. And he's very clear, if we have wealth, we're meant to share it. If we have power, we're meant to use it to help others. So we have this contrast, blessing or woe. And you know, it's interesting, woe here, it's not cursed. It's not, although I've read a translation that translates it this way, it's not damned, like God's going to do this to you. It's not about God punishing these people, I don't think. I think it's talking about what I learned when my kids were preschoolers. It's talking about natural and logical consequences. The path you choose, the life you make, over time, you reap what you sow. So Jesus says again and again, you cannot serve both God and mammon, wealth, human material things, power, prestige. You can't serve both. You have to choose. I was trying to remember driving in this morning where this scripture is, but there's this one scripture where it says you cannot stand, how long will you stand kind of between two choices? And in the Bengali Bible that I grew up with in Bangladesh, it says, how long will you stand with your feet in two boats? That's a great image, isn't it? Just trying to stand in one boat doesn't work too well. Feet in two boats, natural and logical consequences. You can really hear this in Eugene Peterson's Message translation. You're blessed when you've lost it all, because then God's kingdom is there for the finding. You're blessed when you're ravenously hungry, then you're ready for the messianic meal. You're blessed when the tears flow freely, joy comes with the mourning. Count yourself blessed. Every time someone cuts you down or throws you out, every time someone smears or blackens your name to discredit me, Jesus, the gospel, the good news, the truth of God. What it means is that the truth has come too close for comfort, and that person is uncomfortable. You can be glad when that happens. Skip like a lamb if you like, for even though they don't like it, Jesus says, I do, and all of heaven is applauding. And know that you're in good company, for my preachers and witnesses have always been treated like this. But it's trouble ahead if you think you have it made. What you have is all you'll ever get. It's trouble ahead if you're satisfied and full of yourself. Yourself cannot satisfy you for long. And it's trouble ahead if you think life's all fun and games. For all of us, there's suffering to be met, and you're going to meet it someday. There's trouble ahead when you live only for the approval of others, saying what flatters them, doing what indulges them. Popularity contests are not truth contests. Look how many scoundrel preachers were approved by your ancestors. Your task is to be true, not popular. Telling words in these times we live in. Jesus calls us to the way of compassion, the way of hope for those who are suffering. And he offers this hopeful word to those around him who are poor. And you know, Luke didn't just say poor in spirit. He didn't spiritualize it. Luke also deals with economic realities. In God's realm, Jesus teaches, knowing our dependency, knowing our vulnerability is the way to blessing. He calls us to live into this way, not because we've earned it, not because we deserve it, because we know how much we need it. Jesus was not idealizing poverty. Poverty can be brutal. It grinds down people in body and spirit. Those of us who have more than our share of the world's resources often like Matthew's version better, don't we? Poor in spirit's a little easier to swallow. It's no accident, however, that spiritual seekers over the centuries have taken vows of poverty when they join monasteries or convents or intentional communities, because we have to be challenged with the questions. Where is our security? Where is our trust? Where is our mutual connection and commitment to others? In Luke's gospel, Jesus makes clear the dangers of wealth and power. And how are we called not just to give money and things, but to find our way toward more solidarity with those who are poor? How to be in relationships with those who are suffering in such a wide variety of ways people may be suffering? Some of us know a lot about this, how to do this. Some of you do it in beautiful and powerful ways. I have a lot to learn. I believe life has a way, God has a way, one way or another, of trying to teach us the truth of these teachings. Some of you know, and I've learned a lot, about the wisdom of the 12 steps of recovery. Realizing that we're powerless and that our lives are unmanageable when we try to live out of our own strength and will and control. We need a higher power to bring us to sanity. That's what Jesus is talking about. So many experiences of life, so many struggles and suffering are trying, can help us learn this. Learn humility. Not to crush us, not to humiliate us, but to teach us humility. To let us embrace our neediness, our vulnerability, our absolute dependency on God, and our need for each other. It can be very hard and very scary. But life, if we let it, will teach us to hunger for what truly matters. It will challenge us to be real, as several people reflected yesterday about Marty Kostyu's life. She believed in making it real. The way of blessing that Jesus teaches is the way of vulnerability, the way of community, of mutual dependence, and it is the way of compassion. It is the way of risking all. He shows us a choice. Which way will we live? Will we choose blessing or woe? Will we choose the rock or the sand? Whoever will save their life, Jesus said, will lose it. But whoever loses their life for my sake and the gospel will find it. The way of blessing is here for us. We here have all tasted of it. The call to us is to live into it, to trust it, to believe it, to embody it more and more. Seek first the kingdom of God, God's righteousness, and all those things you need, God will take care of them. It's easy for me to say that. I have enough. People who have so much less, in various ways, have taught me through the years about joy, about compassion, about hospitality. I may have told this story before, but it comes back to me again and again. I was about 14 years old in Bangladesh, and along with a couple other missionary girls who spoke Bangla, got recruited to go help some Red Cross folks mostly from the Netherlands, who were distributing medicine and vitamins in a refugee camp. Because we could speak Bangla, we could help the nurse explain how they were supposed to take the medicines and the vitamins they were distributing. So we did this for several days, pretty good effort at 14. But what I remember, is that one of those moms who had several small children, who was living in a hut, literally about twice the size of this table, made of bamboo and plastic, on the ground with just a mat, insisted that we three come back to her hut for tea and cookies. It was uncomfortable because I wanted to say no, because I knew that they needed whatever she spent on those cookies for food, for clothes. But she wanted to bless us. And she did. And fortunately, we had the grace to receive. And I've never forgotten her. The way of blessing is the way of giving and receiving, of being in open, giving community relationship of love and compassion. May we learn to live more fully, more joyfully.